and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I usually do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results, and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. And I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I'm a professional speaker and trainer, author of 5 books and 3 blogs, certified professional coach, leadership and confidence coach for Forbes Coaches Council, certified John Maxwell coach and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's show. Ryan Holmes said, companies are using social media to do things that go way beyond just chatting up existing customers on Facebook and LinkedIn. Sales departments use social media to nurture leads and close sales. HR posts job openings and vet the applicants. Community and support squads mine the networks, the blogs, and the forums with deep listening tools. So that is what Mr. Ryan Holmes says.
Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information.
We have a fantastic show for you today. Joining us later will be Lisa Ann Landry, social media marketing strategist, who will be taking your calls and questions. So be sure to call us at 646-381-4198 with any of your questions. And by the way, if you're listening online and you decide to give us a call, please mute your computer first. Today's show is titled, What the Heck is Social Media Strategist and Why Do I Need a Social Media Strategist? And in this show, we're going to define what a social media strategist does, why SBOs need a social media strategy and email marketing to increase visibility, protect their reputation, and grow their business. And in the discussion, we will talk about starting the new year with a vision board and to set the foundation for creating the social media and email marketing strategy. We'll talk about things like, what is the social media strategist? Why do you need one? How does creating a vision board fit in with that marketing strategy? How do you define content marketing? What do you mean by a pink spoon method? Why keywords are important? We hear about them a lot, but we're going to learn more about that today and how to find your best keywords. So let me tell you a little bit about her right now. Our guest, Lisa Ann Landry, works with service-based entrepreneurs. Lisa Ann is no stranger to the challenges of small business ownership, having spent 21 years as an entrepreneur after a 14-year career in corporate America. Lisa Ann is a certified coach who has combined her technical aptitude, developed from her years working at IBM, and combined it with her leadership and training skills to address the demands that small business owners have with understanding and crafting social media and email marketing strategy. Today, Lisa Ann helps advance service-based entrepreneurs in using social media to market their products and services. Her high-impact content market strategies help entrepreneurs to boost their online image and visibility, protect their reputation, and improve business results. Welcome to the show, Lisa Ann.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'd like to begin by finding out and having you explain, what is a social media strategist and why would someone need one?
A social media strategist works with complex tools and techniques. So complex tools like all these different social media platforms and email marketing tools and email marketing service providers. So they work with complex tools and techniques and combine them in an integrated strategy that works for their clients. So ultimately the goal is to help these clients create a content marketing strategy that increases their visibility online, helps them to protect their image and grow their business.
Thank you. Now, okay, so now that I understand that, how does vision board fit in with this social media marketing?
Okay. So first, you know, people need a strategist because they're always asking me things like, okay, I'm on all these social sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, and, you know, I don't have time for it and nothing is working. And a strategist is going to help you figure out who your target market is and where they are. So, for instance, if your target market is business people, then you probably don't want to be on Snapchat, because Snapchat is for the kids, and LinkedIn would be the place to be if you're a target market of business people. So a strategist is going to help you figure out where to focus your energy. Now, it occurred to me to combine vision boards with content marketing strategy because, you know, most of us have fleeting ideas about what we want to be, do, have in the life. But they remain just that, fleeting. After all, who has the time to intentionally get clear about what we want to create or want to have in our lives? Well, everyone from Katy Perry to Ellen DeGeneres to Oprah Winfrey swear that they intentionally create outcomes by using a simple tool like vision board. So vision board is a way to sell your ideas to yourself, to anchor to your dreams, and to allow the magic and manifestation to work in your life. As someone who has had their own vision board, I've manifested some amazing results from my own vision board. For instance, you know, getting off the road with seminar companies. I was constantly on the road traveling all the time. So I also had a vision of writing a book, which is something that I've accomplished. I've learned it's more than just slapping pictures onto a poster board. It's about first getting clear on your authentic life, letting go of what's in the way, and then clearly connecting with your dreams while designing a vision that calls to you. So creating a life vision board gives people the space they need to intentionally define their dreams and create a vision board that will effortlessly attract their ideal outcomes. So in my way of thinking, this process lends itself to visioning content for the year, too, that is for, you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners. So if you commit the time to creating your vision board for what you want to be, do, and have, obviously, part of that has to do with what you want to have in your business. So from there, the next step for small business owners is to leverage that vision and begin to create a content marketing strategy that will carry them through the year.
I like it. I like it. So I understand you wrote a best-selling book called Content Marketing, How to Get Started. How does
that fit with
social media strategy?
So the people, I just spoke to the Fayette Chamber of Commerce in Fayetteville, Georgia, a few days ago. And so, you know, I was so excited to speak to them. And, you know, funny story, I never update my software before I speak. And I always reboot my computer before I speak so I can set up my PowerPoint. So I got to the venue, and I was setting up my computer, and it automatically was updating all by itself. And it updated in time enough for me to bring up my PowerPoint presentation. So I just had to, like, speak off the top of my head to a group of about 80 people. So you're a speaker. You know how frustrating that can be. But
yeah.
I said, okay. So y'all forgive my situation. So we're just going to have a conversation and tell me, what are your challenges? My topic was content marketing, what to say and how to say it. And I asked the group, tell me what your challenges are with content marketing. And they say, I just don't know what to say. So my book is really about finding content ideas relevant to your brand and creating a strategy with a content marketing calendar to carry you through the year. So once you identify things and keywords and hashtags and you plan it out, content marketing becomes easier as far as what to post on your social sites and whatnot.
Oh, I also wondered how do you do that, and I have trouble with that too. So I'm right along with all those people. So thanks for sharing that.
Small business owners really struggle not just with thinking of what to say, but having the time to post the content. So there are great tools available to help you post content, such as Hootsuite, or if you're a Constant Contact user, Constant Contact has a scheduler in there to help you schedule your email campaigns and schedule your content as well.
Good. That's good. I know a little bit about Hootsuite, but I never knew you could use Hootsuite to help you, harvest content. Is that what you said?
Well, schedule your content. You know, Hootsuite supports Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. So it has a scheduler in there, and you can schedule your content for an entire year on Hootsuite. And actually, it does help you identify content, too. So it gives you suggestions as far as content that might be suitable for your brand to schedule to your social site.
Wow. That's fantastic. How do you define content marketing?
Well, how do I find content for my social site?
How do you define it?
Oh, how do I define content marketing? Okay, so
yeah.
I'm going to give you two definitions. So I'm going to give you the one that I have in my book. I define content marketing as creating and sharing free, valuable content to attract and convert prospects into repeat buyers. While the content you share is closely related to what you sell, it's not promotional, nor does it talk directly about your product or company. So content marketing is concerned with providing something of value to nurse and prospect. So that's my definition in my book. You know, when I'm just talking to people, I say content marketing is about you educating your prospects and your target market about your industry and your services in a non-salesy way.
Ah, okay. And in your book, you said that content marketing works better than being salesy, pushy, slimy, sleazy. What do you mean by that?
Yes, well, everybody who's listening is probably on some social site. And for yourself, I know you are on several social sites. So have you been spammed on any of those sites? And were you the spam in email? The spam on your social site might be like you have a friend and who sells jewelry. And so she's come to your Facebook personal profile and she's posted a picture of her jewelry sale and she's tagged you and everybody you all know on your personal profile. So, has something like that ever happened to you?
That hasn't happened to me, but that's because I specifically set up my, for example, Facebook page. No one can post to my Facebook page but me. They can tag me and they can put their picture of their jewelry or whatever, but I get a message that says, someone just tagged you. Do you want it to show up on your timeline? Which gives me an opportunity to say, not only do I not want it to show up on my timeline, but I'm banning this person and they're not a friend of mine anymore.
Okay.
But if you have it open where anybody can get on, then that can happen and you get spammed.
Absolutely. And so, you know, if that happens to you, how do you feel about it? And I'm quite irritated by it because my site is not your marketing place. Use your own site to market your stuff, right?
Yeah.
So when people... And then I appreciate everything you said, because when somebody does that, we will block them or we will ban them. What we should do as a community is mark their content as spam and report them to Facebook.
Right.
So, you know, the problem is if they would just have been educational about a piece of jewelry or, you know, the stone that's in the jewelry and educated us about it, we wouldn't have felt that that was spam. We would have felt differently. So the point is if you're salesy, pushy, slimy, sleazy on the social sites, it ticks people off, and they will unfriend you, unfollow you, block you, or put reported as spam. So that defeats the whole purpose of being on the social site. So instead, you know, I suggest that you use the Baskin and Robbins Little Pink Spoon method of education-based marketing.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. What the heck is this Little Pink Spoon Baskin and Robbins method? Tell us about it.
Okay, so everybody has been to the ice cream shop, and I just like to use Baskin and Robbins as the example. And when you go into Baskin, they have these baskets of little pink spoons spread all over the store. Well, those pink spoons are a call to action to you, their target market. And how do they know that you're their target market? Because you walk through the door.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right. And those pink spoons, they're calling you to do what?
Try what's there and see which one I like, and then I can buy.
Absolutely. And so, Miss Yvonne, have you ever been over to Baskin and they said, girlfriend, I am cutting you off because you've had way too many pink spoons? Has that ever happened?
No.
So, and why? Because they want you to do what, ultimately?
They want me to use the pink spoon until they're positive I'm going to find something with those pink spoons that I really, really like.
And then
so
what are you going
to do? So it's not going to deter me from using as many as I like, because there's going to be some point where it hooks me and I make an order.
Yes, absolutely. And how much do they want you to order? Well, at Baskin Robbins, they probably want you to order 31 gallons. But even if you ordered a scoop of ice cream, they've achieved the goal. So,
yes.
You know, understand that Baskin and Robbins is not at the front door advertising their chocolate swirl special, forcing you just to try chocolate swirl. So, you know, in my book, I use this analogy to say that the ice cream, in my analogy, in the social media world would be your blog. And so commit to creating blog content that's educational to your target market. And once you create that content, because it's long-form content, it'll be longer than any other content you create. And then once you create that, just take little pink spoons of juicy goodness from that content and post it on the other social sites and include a link that drives people back to where they can get the whole gallon.
Okay, got it. Good idea. That helps me a lot because I usually post on my blogs about stuff that I'm interested in. But based on what you just said, rather than stuff I'm interested in, I need to post about things that are my areas of expertise that I want my customer to be interested in, like that
pixel. Yes, but there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you writing about what you're interested in, and you can, and that'll just be a portion of your clients need help. And so your content, your other content around your expertise should be you sharing your knowledge and wisdom and expertise to help them solve their problems, their pain points. And I could not understand, you know, as a consultant, we want people to pay us for that, right? And so it took me a very long time when I was new at this to wrap my head around why am I going to give all my good stuff away? And the fact of the matter is the more you give, the more you're going to get in return. And that's the law of reciprocity, you know, in action. And you're not giving away everything. You're just giving, like Baskin and Robbins, they're not giving away gallons of ice cream. They're just giving away little pink spoons.
Yeah, you're giving away the good stuff so that they like it enough that they're likely to say, "Tell me more."
Right. They're thinking, ooh, this little pink spoon is so good. Ooh, I wonder what, if I pay, what the really good stuff is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So that law of reciprocity, tell us a little bit more about that, please.
The law of reciprocity is about sharing your knowledge and wisdom and expertise with your community in a way that uplifts your community with no expectation of getting anything in return. But believe in the universe will pay you back.
Yeah, it does that. You got me there. I'm definitely one of those believers. What would be examples of gallons of content that we already have? Like you, for example.
Well, for me, I write a ton of training programs for different clients. And my contracts are set in such a way that they don't have exclusive right to the content. They can use it, but I can use it too. And so I repurpose my content. In fact, my book that I wrote was really based upon a webinar that I did. It was a one-hour webinar. In fact, I was hired to speak at this retreat of female entrepreneurs. And I was teaching them LinkedIn, how to leverage LinkedIn. And so after I presented, I got to stay and hang out at the retreat with all these entrepreneurs. And one of them was an editor. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're laughing and drinking wine and carrying on. And I just had an epiphany that that webinar that I did, that one-hour webinar on content marketing, should be a book. And so I signed a contract with her that night, and I gave her 12 one-line pages, and she turned it into a book that, let me tell you how many pages this book ended up being. 173 pages.
And you gave her 12
Yeah, 12 chapters with one sentence on each one, and we turned that into a book.
So did you write it together, or did that person turn it into a book for you?
No, you know, I coached me. Like, I wrote everything, and she coached me. She edited it, and she said, this is confusing. You need to add a story here. You need an example here. And
yeah,
she found quotes that were suitable, but I wrote everything. Yeah. So to answer your question, you know, what is a gallon of content we have? I have a bunch of webinars that I've done, and actually they were seminars that I do for my clients, and I've been turning those into webinars. So it's just about, like, when you create a piece of content, always think of ways that you can repurpose it. So you have a blog post, so that's a gallon of content. You can repurpose your blog post into ebooks. You can repurpose your blog post and make them webinars.
Oh. Okay. Okay, that sounds good. You talk about having people go on a scavenger hunt. What are they looking for?
So a scavenger hunt is for when you're stuck about what your content should be for your content marketing. I have people just go on a scavenger hunt in their, like, in their workplaces, in their offices. I have them look for anything that's pre-printed, and even digital content that can be included, and just gather all that stuff up. So I had a lady, for example, in one of my training programs, and she said that she had a hard copy of all the newsletters her company had ever sent out since, like, 1986. So it's 2016, and that content can be repurposed because newsletters have stuff in them that's like evergreen. You know, evergreen meaning it never goes out of style, like cartoons and fun facts and historical accounts and things like that.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
So you're giving me actually, you're giving me ideas for me to put together my strategy for 2017 and using Hootsuite to set a year's worth, repurposing my material and all that kind of good stuff. But keywords are also important. So why are keywords important when it comes to content? And I've always found that completely confusing.
It's really hard. Yes, it took me so long to understand keywords. But when people have a problem, they'll often go to the internet and search for the problem. So the words that they use in their search argument are keywords. So it's a single word, or more commonly, a string of words. So note that people search for the problem and not necessarily the solution. So let me give you an example. We just recently moved here to Atlanta, and I don't know, I would say right in the middle of the summertime, the air conditioner downstairs stopped working. And my husband was all in a huff about, well, you need to call our air conditioning service person. It was on a Sunday, and I'm like, that'll be at least $125. I just don't think so. So I go on to Google, and I search on my problem, air conditioner not cooling. That is a keyword phrase. And why don't I search for a company? Well, I don't go search for a company because I'm new in the area. I don't know what companies around here exist. I don't know who has a good reputation or bad reputation, and I want to know if the problem is something that I can fix myself.
Yeah.
So the goal then is if you're an air conditioning, Yvonne's air conditioning and heating service, then when you create content, you're going to want to include the keywords in the content, the problems that people might search on. So you do a blog post that says, that has in your blog post that keyword phrase, air conditioner not cooling. Here are some of the causes that might lead to that problem. The capacitor might have gone bad. The Freon might be low, et cetera. So just by doing that search argument, I was led to a YouTube video that showed me that it was possible that the capacitor was bad. It showed me where the capacitor was, and I talked my husband into us going together and taking the air conditioner apart, and the capacitor was blown, and I went and bought another one. It cost $25, and together we put it in and fixed our air conditioner.
That is just precious. I love it. That's fantastic. Thank you. I like the clarity of your example because it not only shows why keywords are important, but kind of helps you understand what the magic of keywords, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. So by including keywords and phrases in your content, you're just leaving breadcrumbs that lead people with a problem that you solve. You're leading them to your product or service and helping them to get the resolution through what you offer.
Got it. So now that I have a better understanding of keywords, another question comes to mind, which is hashtags. Can you explain hashtags and how they're used in a content marketing strategy?
Okay, very good. So a hashtag is a word or phrase prepended by the pound sign. And hashtags can be used in different kinds of ways for marketing. So you can use hashtags, brand hashtags for your brand. You can use hashtags for your product. And you can use campaign-specific hashtags, too. So let me give you a few examples. I did work for the South Coast Air Quality District in out of California, and they have like 35 air quality districts. So I suggested they use a branded hashtag for their brand, #AQ Air Quality M AQMD, Air Quality Management District, right? And whenever they're posting content, include that hashtag. So hashtags are used on multiple social sites. And when you use a hashtag, you create a hyperlink that makes that hashtag searchable. So when people see the hashtag, they can click on it, and all the conversations that went on using that hashtag can be seen. So it's a way to create visibility for your brand. So that was a brand-specific hashtag. Now, the Air Coast Quality Management District, every year they do a lawnmower exchange. And that's a campaign-specific thing. So they could have a hashtag for that campaign, you know, exchange your mower, go green, you know, hash go green, all those kind of things. So another good example of a product-specific hashtag would be hash pumpkin spice latte. Who do you think that is?
I don't know. Say that again.
Hash pumpkin spice latte.
That's Starbucks.
That's correct. So if you're a coffee drinker and a Starbucks fan, everybody knows that Starbucks, right? And then what time of the year do you think we're talking about? What time of the year is it if you're seeing that hashtag used?
Oh, it's fall. It's when we do the pumpkins and Halloween and all that good stuff.
Right, absolutely. So you can do product-specific hashtags. You can do lifestyle hashtags like clean eating or, you know, what's going on in our country right now. Black Lives Matter, they use a hashtag. You can use hashtags associated with events that you're involved in, like South by Southwest 2016, which is FXF, I think, 16. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, because it's more for social media type people, but, you know, social media folks know what that is.
Yeah.
It's just a conference
for social
media.
I'm actually thinking to myself, since you're a social media expert, you probably know what it is, but
right.
It's something I have to go check out now. Because I am a Southwest person.
You're what?
Southwest. Didn't you say it was Southwest?
Yes. Yes. Southwest conference for social media. I forget what it is now. I'm going blank.
Yeah. Okay. But I'll go look it up. But I have a better understanding now, too, though, about hashtags. You use the hashtag as a way to connect all conversation around whatever that subject matter is across the entire internet and across all of the social media sites to pull them all together just by using that hashtag, right?
Yes. So the way I explain it to people is think of your hashtag that you use as a label that you put on a file folder. And then in the file folder, all the files are related to that label.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you see a hashtag on Twitter, if you click on it, you'll see all the conversations on Twitter that took place with that hashtag. If you see it on Facebook and you click on it, you'll see all the conversations on Facebook that took place around the hashtag. So
but if you're just
great
on
way.
Google, my mm-hmm. question is, if you're just on Google, which is neither Facebook nor Twitter, and you use that hashtag, won't it pull everything from Facebook and Twitter and anywhere else that has that hashtag? No.
No, it makes sense that it would, but Google doesn't index everything. So Google and Twitter used to be friends, and Twitter stuff was indexed at one time, and then they weren't friends anymore, and I don't know where they're at. I think they're friends again, so it's possible, but with Google, everything is not indexed, and so you can search on hashtags and you'll find conversation, but you're not getting everything.
Got it. See, now that was an eye-opener too, because I don't use hashtags a lot. I'll probably start using them more. But I didn't know what you just said, so thank you for that.
Yeah. I use a hashtag when I'm sharing content about social media that's educational. I use social media strategist as a hashtag. If I'm just, you know, I'm an educator like you, you know, a speaker and trainer. So if I'm posting something that is just educational, I'll use the corporate trainer hashtag. So those hashtags give you visibility. So it's important to kind of research which ones you might want to use and start including them in your content.
Got it. Makes sense. All right. So you recommend posting content to the social channels based on unique features like their culture and the language and the tone of that particular social site. But that seems like a lot of work to me. Wouldn't it be easier to just post the content to all the sites instead?
Yes, it is really easy to do that, but that is not a good strategy. So let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Your goal is to get your fans to follow you on every social site that you're on. And the reason why is because of their followers and connections. You may get exposure to them. So if your fans follow you on every site that you're on, and you post the exact same content on every site, how would you feel about that? You're following me on all my sites, and then you see that my content is exactly the same on all the sites. How would you feel?
Cheated. I wouldn't be happy.
You would. Yeah, you wouldn't be happy. You would feel sad.
And I'm bored.
Yes, and so what would you do about it?
I'd leave you. I'd not come back. I would look at the only one because I know they're all going to be the same anyway.
That's right. So you will disconnect from me on all except for one, and that is bad for me because now I've lost access to all your friends and followers on those other channels, and those people could be prospects or clients for me. So now I've lost that.
I see. How you said something about I would lose that person and all of their context. I don't see how that I get that person's context. That doesn't click for me.
You know, if we are connected on LinkedIn, for example,
yeah,
and you give me, and you're in my network in LinkedIn, and you give me a recommendation, and I accept that recommendation is visible on my profile and your profile. So all of your followers see that recommendation that you gave me, which gives me visibility to them.
Oh.
Right?
Oh,
so that's an example. So if we're in the same network, I have the potential to have exposure to all the people that are in your network. And that's really good for me, and it's not bad for you either. I mean, because you and I are both international trainers, but we don't train on the same stuff. I'm a social media strategist. You're a leadership, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So that's what I mean, that no, I don't have all your contacts, but I have exposure to your network. And that exposure could lead to consulting work or contracts for me. But if you disconnect with me, I don't have that exposure anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's true. So I'd like to ask a question or two about LinkedIn because it was purchased by Microsoft, and I'm wondering if you what do you think might occur? Is it going to make it better? Is it going to be more business oriented? Might Microsoft legitimize it more? Or what are your thoughts on that? And it's starting to change, I noticed.
Yes. So this is just me totally speculating. I have no evidence to back up anything that I'm about to say. But
okay.
I think one thing that I hope happens is they change the pricing model for membership to LinkedIn. because, you know, at one time you could just have kind of a, you still have the ability to have a free account, but with free you have limits. And there was a time when you could get a fee account for like $7.99 a month. And then it went up to $15 a month, which I didn't have a problem with that. But I am not paying $29 a month when I don't really need it for a job. I can find a way to maneuver around it with the free version to get consulting contracts and other contract work. So right now, the free structure I feel is really high to have a premium account. So I hope to see that change. And then I hope that they set some rules around what content should be posted on LinkedIn, because people treat LinkedIn like it's Facebook, and it is not Facebook. It is a business networking site.
I haven't seen that, people treating it like it's Facebook.
Well, if you look at what people post, they post the same kind of content that you see on Facebook. So in my opinion, that content is inappropriate for LinkedIn. It's not, in my opinion, it's not business-oriented. Like, I don't want to see your cute puppies and your kittens looking, you know, playing with string on LinkedIn. That's not what I am there for.
I haven't seen anything like that on LinkedIn, but maybe it's my the way my profile's set up or something.
No.
But that would make sense, yeah.
Okay.
So now I'm gonna move away from LinkedIn, and I want to talk to you a little bit about email marketing. I was surprised to see a chapter on email marketing in your book. What caused you to address email marketing?
Well, I decided that at the last minute, and then the reason why is because people look at email marketing as separate from social media, but email marketing and social media go together like ice cream and cake. So if everybody is not on these social sites, so you're trying to reach your prospects and clients, but they're not all on the social sites. But everybody uses email. Like 99% of people have email. So email remains the best way to connect with your clients.
That sounds good. That sounds good. But I thought that lots of people are kind of moving away from email and going more to like texting and instant messaging and stuff like that. Do I have that wrong?
That's just another way for people to connect, but no, email remains the best way to connect with your customers. And, you know, one of the reasons, I mean, besides the reason that everybody has email, when you send out your email campaigns, your email newsletters, you're just it's like a way. You're saying, hey, everybody, I'm still around. So people might not even open up your email, but they know you're still there. So it gives you visibility. And visibility on all the social sites and through email marketing is really important, because visibility keeps you at the top of your people's mind. Because remember, I said before, people are not always ready to buy your product. But when they're ready, if they don't remember you, they're going to go to somebody else. So all this content marketing is about staying at the top of people's minds, so when they are ready to buy, they think of you first.
Got it. Why would someone need an email marketing service provider when everybody has Yahoo and Gmail?
Email service provider will make sure that you stay legal and you comply with the Can Spam Act. It will make your emails not be flagged as spam. It will make your emails look branded and professional.
Yeah, it does make it more likely to be opened and read, because it's more professional looking. So what are some of the things that you can do with an email marketing service provider?
You can, I mean, one of my favorite things to do, like when I've been hired to do webinars, is create a landing page for the webinar and send out invitations to all the people, to my list, invitation, collect payment and registration information, and it all feeds into my list. And then people will have a little ticket, and when they come to a live event, that ticket can be scanned to check them in. So that's just one thing that I could do with my email service provider. That I just love that, since I do seminars and webinars so often.
Yeah, that would make it easier and actually faster for everybody. And
absolutely.
I like it. So what else would you like to tell us about being a social media strategist? Do you see companies creating the SBO positions now? I mean, if I was somebody who wanted to get into this area, could I go look for a job as an SBO?
Look for a job as
a company. Companies now hire people. Do they go and hire people as a social media strategist for the organization?
You know, in large organizations, all this work takes place through the marketing department. But in my years of training social media marketing, all those people came to my training. So that marketing department is learning social media, SEO, social media strategy, through going through training programs like seminars and conferences and stuff like that. So they are hiring the positions in-house. Now, small business owners, my experience with small business owners is they're just really starting to get involved in social media, and they are more inclined to hire someone to post content than to get a strategist, and that's really backwards. They need a strategist first to help make sure they're on the right sites and they have the right content to help them craft their content. And then once that's done, then they can give it to someone to post. Otherwise, just hiring somebody to post stuff, there's no strategy behind it.
Got it. Thank you very much. Do you have any final comments for our listeners?
Well, I would love for your listeners to follow me. I am Lisa Ann Landry. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. My website is lisaannlandry.com. And if you join my list, you will get a free gift. Before your listeners today, I would like to give them a 60-day trial of Constant Contact. So if any of you would just share with me on any of my social sites that you would like that free trial, I'd be happy to give it to you. I can give you a link to it.
Okay, that sounds good. But just in case people don't know what Constant Contact is, can you give them a quick, here's what it is, since they're getting a 60-day trial?
Yes.
I know what it is,
yes.
But I'm saying in case someone doesn't know.
Oh, absolutely. Constant Contact is a email marketing service that gives you the ability to take all of your contact lists for your customers, your clients, your vendors, volunteers, and put it in one place. And then with Constant Contact, you're able to create email campaigns and newsletters, promotions and events. You can do surveys. You can collect registration and payment information. It's all wrapped up into one tool. And for most people who pay for the service, it costs anywhere from $20 to $75 a month.
Okay.
And I am giving it to all of your listeners for 60 days for free so they can try it out and see if it's something that they could benefit from.
Okay. I like it. I'll probably give it a try. I've never tried it. I've heard about it. I know about it, but I'll probably give it a try now that you have recommended it so highly. Thank you, Lisa Ann.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
Thank you for an educational interview. And my thanks to all of you for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Join us again next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. And until then, let me leave you with these few final thoughts. Raymond Arroyo said, whether via social media or in person, building your relationship is a long-term process, and the ultimate goal is to strengthen your network one person at a time. And the fabulous Ben Vereen said, I had a teacher. He was 86 years old, and his name was Luigi in New York City. And he said, quote, never stop moving. You get to reinvent yourself, end quote. So you have to find ways of reinventing yourself, especially today, because it's a whole different market, and social media is really an important part of that market. Thank you, everybody. Remember to find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy, and follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown. Then leave your comments about today's show, and if you have a topic you would like us to cover, just leave us a comment. Thanks, Lisa Ann.
Thank you.